before I introduce the speaker, you see, you have to understand that with the fire's got to have fuel. So I want to encourage you that the enemy will try to challenge you to keep away your fuel. He'll try to make you suffocate. Because if you suffocate the fire will always go out. Don't let nothing suffocate your fire this weekend. Don't let nothing suffocate your praise this weekend. Don't let nothing suffocate your worship this weekend. Because God is on the move. He's unstoppable. And if you will just keep feeding the fire, He will just keep feeding the fire. He will move in unexpected. He'll move in uncapped ways. He'll move in crazy ways. I'm talking crazy faith. I'm talking crazy anointing. Woo! I feel the Lord. Well, I better get out of this platform. Woo! Saints of God, tonight the preacher that's come before you is a mighty anointed man of God. And I've grown up with him my entire life, for he is my father. And yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. And what's crazy is that what he shows on the platform is exactly what he shows at home. It doesn't differ one degree. It doesn't differ at all. It's not a different form at home. He's the same man that gets on his knees, shakes the living room floor till you can hear it through the whole house. The same man that speaks in tongues while he's cooking potatoes on the stove. It's the same man that's come to bring you the word tonight. You're not here by accident, but you're here by divine appointment. So I need you to believe me and trust me tonight that as this word goes forth, it's for you. It's for you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. It's for you tonight. So let's stand to our feet and give an Eagle Heights Worship Center a welcome to Apostle Don McClintock. We are so excited for the word of God, and he's going to be ready to deliver it. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Woo! Deliver that word.
Give Jesus a great big hand, everybody. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Turn to somebody around you and say, I've got a fire burning in me called the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The devil can't put this fire out. Got the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's an unquenchable, eternal fire, because it's more than a fire. It's the direct expression of He, the third part of the Godhead. He, the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm on fire. Lift those hands up to heaven and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive. During this prophetic first night of Fire and Glory Camp meeting, I'm ready to get all that you have for me. I open wide my spirit, my heart, my mind, because everything that I am belongs to you. So all that I am is going to be because of you. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you, Lord, for filling this entire place with your presence. Lord, here and all throughout the hallways, both in the back, in our aftermath, and all around this great conference center. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this weekend will be memorial, because you will bring memories that will change lives forever. And Lord, we give you all the glory and honor and praise for what you're about ready to do in our lives, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Shake hands with three or four people around about you. Say, I'm so glad you're here on the opening night of Fire and Glory Camp meeting. We welcome all those that are watching also by media and live stream. We're glad that you're on with us on Facebook and YouTube. Praise the Lord. Share, share, share. Get this word out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, don't we have a wonderful Fire and Glory camp meeting band? Hallelujah. Eagle Nation Music plus Oklahoma. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to say that I am so glad that you all are here. It means a lot to me and my family and our church that you have come from all over to be a part and get in on the first night. As others are traveling and we are praying for their safe traveling mercies, we're glad you're here. But I'm so glad to have ministry friends here as well. And if you are Fivefold Ministry, would you stand? Fivefold Ministry, would you stand? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got powerful anointed over here. The Langs, praise the Lord, from Arkansas. Praise God. Glad to have Pastor Blake Rice out as the contingency front for Pastor Parsley before he comes. Hallelujah. It's good to have Denver and his lovely wife, the Callahans, from just right up on the west side with us. And believe in miracles also. He's a walking miracle, and we're thankful for that. And always our longtime dear friends, the Trues. Praise the Lord from Church on the Rock, Pastor Curtis and Carmen True. Praise God. And they believe in miracles, healing nights. And I'm telling you, God is doing. And then the Hills from right up here. Praise the Lord in Lebanon. It's good to have Tommy and Teresa with us. Praise the Lord. And they brought a special guest, Pastor James. It's good to have you all the way from Iowa, I believe. Praise God. And then Pastor Casey Harriman, praise the Lord, is on the forefront of prayer with pastors right out here in Stratford, at Stratford Assembly of God. And we're glad that he is here. Had a wonderful prophetic conference not too long ago. And then, of course, our friend, praise the Lord, Brother Roy Ralph, long time in the groove of the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And all of our ministries. And, of course, Pastor from Oklahoma that's got so much family over here. Praise the Lord. He's on bass guitar. But hallelujah. And all of those that direction. And then Minister D. Praise the Lord. You brought a whole bunch of folks with you. And then a new husband, too. I say, praise God. Hallelujah. So, praise God. It's just wonderful to have each and every one of you here. Praise the Lord. Plus all of the body. Say, we're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And he is making us kings and priests before him. Tonight I want to minister to you a message called Becoming Unstoppable. Before I talk about that, Fire and Glory camp meeting is the two elements that are present in the book of Revelation in the throne room of God. The fire of the Holy Ghost and his glory surrounding everywhere. I'm so glad that when you put the fire of the Holy Ghost together with the glory of the Father, you will see the Son in a whole new light. Hallelujah. For it said that the angels, when they look at the Lord and cry, holy, 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 that they get a different perception of the awesomeness of an eternal God that they serve. And so tonight, we're going to bring forth this message. Because it is at a pinnacle time in our nation and in this society and global society. If we needed God now more than ever before, it is right now that we need the Lord in God's people and moving on behalf of God's people. We are in need of you, Lord. We are desperate for you, and we are glad that you are showing up. Hallelujah. When I began to prepare for this message tonight, on being unstoppable, I was brought to a place where the world tried to stop us. COVID tried to stop us. World government systems tried to stop us. They said that the church is not necessary, that you could only have a certain number of people. So we kept our prayer meetings going, and we just had a camera on site just in case anybody'd show up. And we go, click, it's on, we're broadcasting. But really, we were broadcasting into heaven. Hallelujah. And we're so glad to be able to return this year to this wonderful Oasis Convention Center and to be able to minister together. How many are glad to be out of the box and be able to hook up together in Christ Jesus and connect? Hallelujah. And so as we roll along, I want to go to a scripture. Would you stand to your feet for the first scripture tonight? In Isaiah 61, and I'm going to read verse 3. Says to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Somebody shout, glorified. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This particular verse has a lot packed into it. Not only is Isaiah talking about God's people going to be able to come back from the Babylonian captivity and come back from various things that have caused them to mourn and to put their harps upon the willow tree and to cry before God, but that God was going to come through. But I want to take a little closer look at it tonight, because you see, there are those that have got on their face and felt travail, and they have mourned, not just mourning the loss of those that have died because of a pandemic, but those that recognize there are souls that are dying presently tonight that need Jesus. And God is calling for a people that will mourn again, that will travail again, that will have his compassion and heart again for those souls that need Jesus. Then he goes on to say, to give them beauty for ashes, and I will come back to that in a moment. I love that the Lord is in the trading business, that if you get together with God, you may produce that mourning, but he'll turn the mourning into oil of joy. That joy will begin to flow out of that which is mourning, because you see, anytime that you volunteer to be crushed, a new oil begins to flow out of you when you're in a relationship with the Lord. Anytime that you go through a pressing, we live in a society that does not want any confrontation, doesn't want anybody to stand up, doesn't want the Christians to stand up, but I'm here to summons, a decree from heaven that there is a people that are coming forth that will not be silent. They will not be quiet, for they are in their prayer closets bombarding the very presence of those that are in the atmosphere. And there is a change that's coming that the world is not ready for. The Lord likes to take those that have been heavy, depressed and oppressed, or been heavy laden with a burden that he has given them, a burden that they decided not to throw off for a pizza night, but decided to fast and pray, because God said there's somebody that needs to stand in the gap and pray. I need somebody. I need an ambassador. I need a prayer warrior. I need a prophet. I need a preacher. I need someone to stand in the gap and pray until God moves on our behalf. He said to those, I'll give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to do this so that these folks will be called trees of righteousness, trees that are planted of the Lord, not self-planted, not self-motivated planted, not of our own self-will, but those that are planted by the Lord, that have roots in him, that when he plants you, you're like a tree planted by rivers of living water, and you will not be moved, but you'll tap into the deep ancient wells. I'm here to tell you that they think that the old moves have died, but there's still a remnant of people that know their God. There is a remnant of people that are going to build the bridge and put forth great glory in the waste places. I'm here to tell you tonight that we are the foreguard of what is beginning to happen. It's beginning. The fires are beginning to burn. Prayer warriors are beginning to pray like never before. Preachers are coming together to pray together, to have lunch together, to say, you know what, we're in the kingdom together. Let's join together. Let's do something together for Jesus. And to this wonderful fire and glory camp meeting, I believe will be a catalyst to what God is doing in our region. It's not the start, because God has already started something, but I believe a blaze of fire of the Holy Ghost is going to cause a catalyst. He's going to breathe upon us, and the wind is going to take, the wind of the Spirit is going to take it to the hearts of men. But I want to talk to you just for a moment about to give them beauty for ashes. It is wonderful that the Lord said, if all you have is ashes, I'll trade with you. How many have ever been reduced to ashes? See, ashes, they tell you that there's a fire that has been there. Ashes cannot be produced unless there has been a fire that has burned. Ashes, for some, is the leftover. It is just the dregs. It is just that to be taken out to the garbage. But you see, there's something greater in the ashes. Turn to somebody and say, I value the fire, but be careful not to devalue the ashes. Because these ashes, God's going to give us beauty for it. Oh, don't throw away your ashes. Hey, don't throw away the places where you thought you got burned down to nothing. Don't throw away the places where you don't know what God's going to do next, and it seems like there's nothing left. You can't produce a fire again from the ashes. You can't produce a campfire. You can't cook nothing with them. You can't seem to do that. But oh, there's value in those ashes. Next screen, please. Turn to your neighbor again and say, don't devalue your ashes. In the Old Testament, it was the ashes that when there was a time of repentance, they would begin to fast and pray and rend their garment and put ashes upon their forehead as an understanding that they were to repent before God. The ashes of burning. That if I was raised a Boy Scout, that on the morning time, if there was just a little bit left in the ashes, if just a little spark, you could start a whole fire again. If there was just a little glow, turn to somebody and say, if I still got a glow in my ashes, the fire is going to return. Hallelujah. Ashes of the burning, ashes of a testimony. How many have ever had gone through the fiery trials of your faith and had to come out with a testimony? See, you can't have a testimony without a test that really burns you, because you see, testimonies are not easy to come by, because if they were easy and ordinary, they wouldn't be a testimony. They would just be a yawning point for everybody else. But you see, there's people in this room right here tonight that got a testimony. The greatest testimony is that he saved us when we were a hardened sinner and we were on our way to hell and we were not good people. Turn to somebody and say, you wouldn't have liked me unsaved. Because there's folks in here. See, you don't know. But that dance team up here had two sets of mothers and daughters. And the one daughter, it was her first time at Fire and Glory of this size. Little Elijah is the daughter of our leader, Miss Minister April Liddell, who is also the mother of our prophetic double of those twins. And she's coming right up the aisle right there with them. Major and Justice, praise the Lord. God prophesied to us that we would have double, and upon the same day we got the prophecy, she got word from the doctor that she was having twins for the first time in our church in 24 years, that there would be twins, and there they are, come through intensive care and being born 45 days too early. But God honored and said they're going to live and not die, because they're going to be the generation, if the Lord tarries, that preaches at a young age, that prophesies at a young age, that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover before they get to their teenage years. Testimony, testimony. Miss Janisha, under the power of the Holy Ghost, is okay if I tell this part. Praise the Lord, you saw her up here waving the banner for the Lord, because God saved her to the bone, took her up out of the nightclubs. She was a pole dancer, but God saved her and God turned her around, and now she's glowing for God and dancing for Jesus. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Testimony, testimony. Before that fire and glory. See, Sunday, the Holy Spirit came in through Sunday, and I know it probably showed up in many of your churches, the power of God. But he, the Holy Ghost, came in. We tried to do sound check. But my daughter Brittany had spent 2.5 hours before God in her bedroom with a sign on the outside that says, do not disturb, I'm with the Lord. And a few days from now, she's going to be 24, but she is a Valor College, Christian College, first-year student. Hallelujah, the School of the Spirit with Pastor Parsley. But I'm telling you, she went in before God, and she come in, and they started to praise, but she had the worship part. And I watched as she sang one phrase of worship to God, and we never made it out of sound check. It kept rolling over through corporate prayer. We never got to start corporate prayer. We just went right on in with the move of God. We never got to start service. It just rolled right over at 11 o'clock. I felt real bad for them folks that like to come in at 10 minutes after 11 because they'd already missed an eternity of God's power. And then Sunday night, God got in and wrecked the place. Well, testimonies started happening. On Monday, the Lord's presence shows up at a real estate manager's office. And Brother Jeff, who's part of our Eagle Nation, got a chance to witness to a lady who comes in and she says, "What is this that's going on here, Jeff?" He says, "It's the presence of the Lord." She said, "I've never felt anything like that. Would you pray with me?" Tears in her eyes, rededicated her life back to the Lord. I wonder how many other folks have gone to church and never felt the presence of God. Monday was Miracle Monday. Monday was hot. Woo, glory to God. So I'm training ministry because I believe that you should have multiple ministry in the house of the Lord. I don't believe that I should be the only preacher in the pulpit at Eagle Heights Worship Center. And so I took my son. He was the one who introduced me, Pastor David, our associate pastor. Took him up for some hospital training to go see Janisha and Jamar's brother who had gone through major surgery and then had complications and had to go back in. So we got there, and the power of God met us. And the Lord said, "On your phone, play 'I'm healed, thank you, Jesus,' that my wife wrote while in pain 20 years ago. That same song that Sister Carmen True added to just a couple others that wore out CDs. We kept having to send her tapes and CDs for it. But because they kept on playing it and playing it. How many years you've been cancer-free now? 18 years cancer-free. Because of Jesus. There is power in the music and the message of God just like there is in the preaching. So we were there and we prayed for Brother Julius, who's just newly saved to the Lord and just wonderful. God keeps bringing him in because he's answering that prophetic prayer, isn't he? And he said, there's a Christian couple that's next in bed. And said, his name is Daryl. After ministering to Julius, we took a step over that side and Mrs. Daryl, because I don't know what her name was, she said, thank you so much. The power of the Holy Ghost, Pastor Tommy, came over me. And he said, pray for this man. And instantly out of me come a rebuke against every sickness and infirmity. And for his body as a child of God to line up to the very design of God. And as I walked out with my son, I'm going, thank you, Jesus, as an anointing. I'm out in the parking lot by myself, and the Holy Spirit says to me, this is the same anointing that I had on your dad when he went into that hospital in Clyde, Ohio, and 8 people were released the next day, healed by the power of Jesus. So I went on home, and I just thank you, the Lord. Woo, glory. Well, Julius was released the next day, and Daryl was released the next day. Oh, let me tell you about Daryl. God instantly healed his neck, and in less than 24 hours, healed him of brain hemorrhaging and bleeding and all the hernia that he had, and because he had all this stuff on and stuff. God instantly healed him, and he was released that afternoon at the same time that Julius was, just like the Holy Spirit said in the parking lot. He said, it's the same anointing
that was there in 1959 is here now in 2022. Woo. Turn to somebody and say, America ain't ready for this. Because you see, all of their movie things is not going to help this. All of their propaganda ain't going to stop this. Because they're up against an unstoppable God who has some unstoppable children who have been around the Lord just a little too long. We already know that he heals from cancer. We already know that he heals and he saves and he delivers and he does miracles. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you already know too much to disbelieve. And we give God all the glory. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Ashes that God gives beauty in trade. Next, ashes left over after, somebody say, after the fire. If there's ashes left over after the fire, science tells us they cannot be burned again. Turn to somebody and say, I've got ashes. I'm not going to be going through that same burning again. I got a testimony in my ashes. Because my ashes are fireproof. Somebody shout, my testimony is fireproof. My ashes are fireproof. You can't burn me again, devil. I already know how God brought me out. I already know how he brought me through the fire. And you thought that was worthless? You lied. I got some ashes you're scared of. Ashes have precious elements in them that fire couldn't burn up. You can take those ashes and mix it with water, and you can change the composition in soil. You can mix it with water and begin to produce lye water and mix it with a little animal fat and make lye soap. From the ashes, you can clean stuff up. It has a natural abrasion. You can scrub things up. And the Lord is bringing forth some people with some ashes that are going to get mixed with the water of the Spirit. And we're going to start a cleansing process. Hallelujah. That our society needs. That our pulpits, some of them need. Hallelujah. That our cities need. That some of our city councils and school boards need. Because how dare they try to come in and force our teachers to be wolves, to preach things and teach things that are contrary to the very design of God Almighty and to the conscience. Already psychologists have said that there are many, many, many more that now have mental problems because of what they're trying to put out in the United States across the board. They're trying to get people confused. More kids. If we don't step up, more kids will commit suicide. If we don't step up, more will be totally ravaged by the wolf of sin. And we will see so much devastation. Oh, don't you be fooled. The enemy wants our babies. Because you see, if he can stop the generation, he can stop the ashes. The ashes are the testimony that you give to someone else. And they are what, in that testimony, cause Jesus to be revealed and cause his power to be seen and cause people's faith to come alive. It is in those ashes. It is in not any goody two shoes and how we were born and everything easy. It is telling the story of how we had no way out. It was impossible, but Jesus. There was no way to go through it, but Jesus. He taught me his word. He taught me how to call on him, and he would answer. And I know that when I hooked up with an unstoppable Savior, that he said, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way, and I'll bring you through, and I'll bring you out. I got a testimony. Hallelujah. Next. Ashes always come with humility. Because ashes realize if it had not been for Jesus, I'd have never made it. If it had not been for God, I wouldn't be here. Let me tell you real quick. The enemy tried to stop me before I was born. before my mama was born. But God had a different plan. My mama raised in Ohio to a steel worker, rough and rugged, God-fearing but not God-believing. When she came to Christ, she married a preacher whose mother was a praying woman. My daddy's mama was saved in 1907 under the early meetings of Billy Sunday. My grandmother got the Holy Ghost in the 30s. My grandmother died twice, raised from the dead, took the third time to take her home. My grandmother had a stroke, paralyzed on the left, put a kitchen chair underneath her side, cooked supper, still praising God, said, I'm going to come out of this kitchen one of these days walking with both my legs. And in 2 weeks of praying and saying, Lord, come on in this kitchen. Come on in here and heal me. She walked out without any effects of paralysis, without any effects of stroke. Hallelujah. They put a couple pacemakers in her because of a heart tick, and she outlived the surgeons that put in both of them. But my dad, 1960, went on up to Detroit, Michigan, where he would there be working for a little while under the great man of God that's gone on to be with the Lord, Ralph Hart, at Liberty Temple in Detroit. Some don't know, but his daddy had a church in Dallas. Dallas tried to run his daddy out of Dallas because his daddy, after Ralph had been run over by an ice truck and his skull was crushed and he died, his daddy went up with a few prayer warriors up to Dallas Hospital and said, you're not putting my boy in that morgue. I'm taking him out of here. And angels stopped the security guards as he took his dead boy up out of there, up out of the morgue, and walked on out as if he owned the place. It made the devil mad. They walked back in and put him in the bedroom and began to pray, called the prayer warriors of the church, and they began to pray and pray and pray. And the power of God came and resurrected that young man up, and he began to breathe, but he was in pain. They negotiated, since he's alive, we need a doctor to come in and examine him. He became conscious. He said, are you in pain? Yes, my head still hurts so bad. His skull crushed. He said, we're going to go get a court order to come back and take you to the hospital. Daddy Hart looked over in the corner and said, Father, you have never, ever failed me. And before they get back, Father, put my boy's head back together so they can't take him. Within moments, a crack and a pop began to happen, and the boy's skull went back in place, and all of the pain stopped in the bleeding. When they came back to examine, they said, what's going on? He said, I'm totally free of pain. All the disfiguration had gone back. He had gone back to being himself. They said, what happened? And he said, my daddy's God walked in this room and put my head back together. And he's called me to preach. And that is the preacher that called my mom and dad out on that Sunday morning and said, thus saith the Lord, today I heal your womb. You've had 2 miscarriages. You will not have another. And in a year, you're going to have a baby, and God's going to give you the desires of your heart. So in 1962, 10 months in, out come I, 10 pounds, confounding all the doctors, come out. And then I was the first of 6, because in my mama's heart was 6 kids, and God gave her 6 in 7.5 years and no twins. 10 pounds. My youngest brother, his birth weight was 12 pounds 6 ounces. They called him Hoss. That's because when God does it, and he does it right, he does it big. See, there was a connection there was a connection. And somebody who had known God and been through called on God. Then his son knew God and could call on God. And then my mama could know God in a greater manner and call upon God. And there are preachers that know God and know how to call for miracles, know how to call for healings. They just need a people that will believe that God is doing it again. I didn't say he's going to do it. He is doing it again. Ashes fertilize the soil. Ashes represent a desperation for God's presence and healing. Ashes are valuable. Next, ashes are the aftermath of faith's proof of withstanding the fire. Ashes are the aftermath of faith's proof of withstanding the fire. Ashes are your testimony, and ashes are faith's victory. Ask me why the enemy doesn't like your ashes. It's because, above all, Ephesians 6 and 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith has victory. Faith has a testimony. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ashes are faith's testimony of victory. And you see, you can put out the fiery darts of the enemy with your ashes of your testimony. If I want to stop a fire, I just smother that fire with the ashes of the previous fire. And I can put out every next battle. When the battle comes, said, but my God did it before. And here's my testimony. Go ahead and produce some ashes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Because I'm going to walk in with those ashes. And I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to declare what the Lord has already given me. And other people, the fire in their life is going to go out. And they're going to get a new fire that ain't never going to go out. Hallelujah. Whew. I got to move on. Next. Ashes are unstoppable. You can bury them and they'll fertilize wherever you buried them. Throw them on a fire, they'll do their work. Sift them, you'll find precious things. You can even find precious metals that couldn't be burned up in the fire that will be in the ashes. Because when the fire of the enemy is hurled at you, you have an extinguisher to that fire because it's fireproof ashes. Somebody give God glory for the ashes of your testimony through Jesus. Becoming unstoppable uprises those. I'm here to prophesy tonight. Uprises those who Christ Jesus has transformed. How many been transformed? Hallelujah. That's why you're here. The body of Christ, the members together in Christ of an unstoppable Savior, an unstoppable King. Because Jesus Christ is relentless. Next, relentless in love, incomparable in works of supernatural. He is undeniable in compassion. He is unlimited in spirit. He is the unstoppable Savior. Death tried to stop him. They thought they could kill him. They thought they could stop him, but he resurrected. They thought they'd put a crown of thorns on his head. And all he did was remove the curse off of our minds so that we could wear a different crown. They thought they would nail him to the cross. And there they had, all they did was nail our sins so we could be redeemed. They thought they'd whip him, but the Lord turned it around and said, by his stripes, we're already healed. Everything they hurled at him, he turned it around for something supernatural in our lives. Shall we serve an unstoppable Savior? Give God a praise. Thank you, Master, that you're undefeatable. Thank you, Master, that you're unbeatable. That it will be, what God is doing will be undeniably, irresistibly, irrevocably, irreversibly God. It is Christ Jesus that makes us unstoppable. When somebody says, I just don't know. I said, you got Jesus? Because the real Jesus is unstoppable. Why don't you turn on some unstoppable praise? Why don't you turn on some unstoppable worship? Why don't you turn on some unstoppable prayer? Why don't you turn on that unstoppable gift within you? Paul had to tell Timothy, stir it up, son. Stir it up. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:15 through 16 said, but speaking the truth in love, may you grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, everybody say the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Turn to somebody and say, you've got a supply. Don't you dam up that supply. Don't you stop up that supply. You have a supply. You may be a singer, a preacher. You may be someone that just believes. You may be a person that helps. Every single one of God's people have an unstoppable source through the Holy Spirit in them. And we are joined. Say joined. And knit together by every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the proper function and activation by which every part does its share, its special work, causes healthy growth of the body for edifying and building and maturing of itself in unselfish love. God's body, I'm here to tell you that the body that is knit to Christ already is now coming back. We're saying we're not going to be separated. We're not going to let other things separate us from that which God has given. We've got too many testimonies. We're going to use those testimonies together. We got too many people with power in their prayer. We got too many people with faith unstoppable. We got folks, they got headaches. Let me pray for you. It's going to go away. Hallelujah. You got something going on. I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to believe together. And pretty soon you're going to pray for somebody. Turn to somebody and say, whatever God put in you and got you through, there is an anointing to get somebody else through it too. Woo! Somebody think about your testimony just for a minute. Can I tell it real quick? Just before the pandemic hit on the second Sunday of 2020, God visited us, a young man, stand up, Brother David Batak, stand up. Visited this young man with double miracles. Healed and opened his eyes were going dim, his glasses were so thick he was having to try to read this close. And God healed his eyes. Started reading the banners, started reading. I had him come up and start reading my Bible with no glasses. Now in our mentorship sessions, his Bible is 8 pica, and I have to almost get out a magnifying glass to read it. But in that process, I had breathed into him. The Holy Spirit said, now breathe the breath of life after you cast that spirit of asthma out that he'd had from 4 days old. That week prior to this miracle, he had had 5 or 6 major attacks, asthma attacks. Even one that morning, that Sunday morning. But somebody say, but God. When the Lord hit him, opened his eyes, then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just came on me and said, take a run around the church. He took a run around the church, what he could not do. What would have thrown him into another asthma attack. He ran around the church and no more asthma. He started going to gym class. They don't know how. They think, what's going to happen? Are we going to get sued if we let it? Started going to gym class, started running, started playing ball. Hallelujah. And coming this fall, he's going to play football for one of our high schools in this town. But wait. COVID had attacked lungs. And Miss Heather had been having trouble breathing. And she had not had a good night's sleep in 3 months. And so we called her forth for prayer. And the Holy Spirit said, get the young man that has the miracle and teach him how to pray for her to get her miracle. And he preached the same. He did the same thing. Got all heated up in the Holy Ghost the same way. Rebuked that spirit the same way. Breathed into her the same way. And the power of Jesus hit her lungs. Her lungs flamed wide open. She had a first night of sleep that night and hasn't had any more oxygen or trouble breathing since then. So I can pass it on. I can pass it on. I can pass it on. We're connecting Veins of the miraculous are connecting. Veins of the supernatural are connecting. Veins of knowing how to access are connecting. Those that have gone through different streams, but we are connecting and unifying. Next screen, please. There is a connection in covenant. God caused me to hear a sound when I was in my daddy's church some 30 years ago. And I heard a sound. And I heard a sound like railroad cars that were coming and clanging together and making a connection. It was audible. I turned to look, and I remembered there's no railroad tracks by my daddy's church. So I said, Holy Spirit, what is this that I'm hearing? Because you hear by faith first. It comes first in the hearing. And then he began to show me, and a vision began to come as I was waiting to preach, and my wife was starting to sing. The Lord showed me these cars coming together, mantles connecting, people, veins of prophetic, veins of healing, veins of prayer, veins becoming together, veins of anointing coming together, linking together by covenant. And then he said, later on he said, you will conquer through covenant connections because we'll honor each other, we'll love each other, we'll have mutual respect for each other, because you see, you've got a power that I don't have, that God will say, hey, grab that one, let them lay hands on this one, and boom, the power of God's release. He said, get that five-year-old that wasn't supposed to live to come down there and lay hands on somebody that ain't supposed to live and watch God resurrect their bodies, and they will live and not die. God is causing a spiritual bond to be built at another level that cannot be separated. I want you to take a good look at that particular picture just for a moment. And then, Corey, I want you to hit forward and backward till I ask you to stop. Go forward. No, no, the other way forward to the picture. Go back. Go forward. Go back. Go forward. That is the human knee joint. And the word said by Paul that the Lord has joined us together. It is a place where bones meet. But if bones don't have a joint, the bones will rub each other raw. Bones is a governmental authority, and governmental authority needs a joint of covenant. That's why the Lord said that his word is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the discerning between the joint and the marrow. Not the joint and the bone. The marrow is where the blood is produced. It's where the antibodies are produced. And the joint is what wraps around it in this knee joint. Everybody say, thank God for my knees. Because it's on your knees that you will pray. I wore out the edges of my kneecaps because I spent a lot of time praying. Over these years, I got to put pillows underneath or get in the posture of my pastor. Like Pastor Parsley said, you got to eat some carpet. So I get down on the floor till my back hurts and keep on praying. And hallelujah, keep on praying till I know whether the carpet's clean or not. But I know afterwards it's real clean after I get up. Hallelujah. And I pray and I seek God. Why? Because I need him. I need him. We need him. But covenant cushions, the covenant cushions, so a governmental authority works in agreement without harmful friction, so that when I show up at Church on the Rock in Sykeston, I understand the authority of the Lord that is in that house. He is my brother. She is my sister. And I understand that the Lord is Lord, but I come to aid. No matter where I show up, I now relinquish that which is one authority, that through covenant we might be flexible and help each other and bond together so that we can work. Bones working with bones so that we can move in the body of Christ, in the movement of the flow of the Spirit, and there not be any friction and harm that comes. Covenant will stick together over the years. Covenant will protect each other. Covenant will pray for each other. Covenant will be there when in the time of need. Covenant will have each other's back. Covenant is the covenant of Christ Jesus in us, and because of Christ and the Christ in you, if I know you by the Spirit, then I know the strength of Christ that is in you. It is purposed relationship that gives flexibility without injury. I thank God that the pandemic caused us to take a slower pace. Take the demand off of us so much. Some people, they wandered off because they didn't have any covenant and they didn't have any vision. But folks that were in covenant that had a vision from God, it caused them to get closer to God. And when you get closer to God, you can't help but to get closer to the family of God. Woo! Somebody say a strength is coming up in the family of God. Ways of unstoppable. Now I'm going to move quick, so if you got to take a picture of it, take a picture. The ways to be unstoppable is purpose relationship building. Praying together. Are we seeing it? Fellowship together. Are we seeing it? Gone are the days to show up to a fellowship meal, eat and run. We're going to fellowship together. Find the strategies of God. Because it was at the table of fellowship that he taught his disciples some of the most secrets in the kingdom of God. We'll work together. We'll reach to each other. It won't be a one-way street. We'll both reach in a covenant. We'll both reach out. Hallelujah. Love, honor, respect, and bond. We'll know each other in the spirit. Next, unstoppable. First, I want to start real fast with unstop. Unstop means to remove any debris, hindrances, sin, demons, blockages, or obstacles that stops up something, like the whales. Hallelujah. Unstopping the whales. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, I got an unstop in me. But when you add Abel, it is the ability to keep repeating. It is the ability to remain. It is the ability to remove any force that stops or causes motionlessness. That when you're unstoppable, you not only unstop those things that have clogged things up, but you'll do it over and over till everything gets moving. Hallelujah. Till the body gets detoxed. Till the church gets on fire. Till the communities get on fire. Till preachers show up. Until there's 10, 12 preachers showing up at city council, prophesying to everyone, even their thoughts and what is going on in their lives. Till they show up at the school board and they say, what have you come for? We've come to change the very things that are being taught to our children. Hallelujah. And we've got an army behind us and we're standing together in covenant. Try to stop us. We'll show up at the ballot box and drive you out. If we can't do it that way, we'll pray you out. Hallelujah. And we'll get somebody in who knows the goodness and the righteousness of God. Now, if you pull stop out of unstoppable, you become unable. People don't like the word stop. Stop. No, I'm going to run through it. I'm just going to roll through it. I'll do what I want to do. If you don't have stop in unstoppable, all you have is an inability to do anything. Because without the stop in the middle, somebody say, that's the place where I sought God. That's the place where I needed God. That's the place where I couldn't go any further. That's the place that the enemy thought he had me. And the enemy wanted me to give up. But you see, I got on my knees and I looked up and drew upon a heavenly Father and he showed up. If you don't have that stop in the middle, somebody say, I thank God for those stops in the middle. We would have permanent loss. See, when God gave you your unable posture, in the place that stops you and fueled your desperate hunger for God and God alone. Peniah shouldn't have kept pushing it and gouging. Hannah, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. You don't have a child. God hates you. Look at you. You're not going to have nothing. But see, it bore a desperation that when she got into the temple that day, something came out of her in a different prayer. Something wasn't ordinary prayer of pity on her. It wasn't just, Lord, why have you stopped me up? But she said by faith, as she reached out in desperate hunger for God, she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give it back to you. And God was wanting a prophet. A prophet that every time he spoke, God would never let his words become vain. If he said, curse this city, that city was going to be overrun, and it was going to happen. They were scared when Samuel would walk up. They'd say, are you come in peace, or have you come in judgment? Because they knew if he spoke, whatever he spoke, God would honor it. See, God needed a prophet in the land because the judges weren't working. God needed a prophet in the land that would bring Israel back to a place of fear and respect for God, and to know that God knew it, and God needed a prophet. But an easy prayer wouldn't bring forth a Samuel. A pity prayer wouldn't bring forth a Samuel. But a gouging of deep hurt would produce a desperation for a God that answers by prayer. And when God answered her prayer, see, she spoke a prophetic prayer. She wasn't trying to make a deal with God. Up out of her spirit said, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And that's what God wanted. And God honored her. How many have ever been forced to the place where your prayers changed? You've had a place where you couldn't pray the same as you did before. Just a little bitty prayer wouldn't work. And all of a sudden something happened in you to where you didn't care whether you were amongst 100 people, 1,000 people, or 58,000 sinners. If God said, I need you to pray, I'm going to pray right here until heaven comes. And I'm not going to be intimidated. When God says, I need you to communicate with me, I'm going to speak, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Somebody say, we might take a little time this weekend and walk around and anoint these walls and anoint some chairs and holler, spend some carpet time, because the next things that come through, somebody might sit right where you're sitting and feel something they've never felt before, because you access God in this place. Hallelujah.
I'll try to bring it home.
His eternal transforms you by word and spirit. One step of obedience by faith will unstop you. How many are glad you took that first step of faith? That's what began to unstop. And once unstopped, God provides the anointed ability to the equation. And when you put stop back in that unable, because now you're moving by faith, it becomes unstoppable, the relentless ability to not be stopped. Look around this room. How many times did the enemy try to stop you? We could write some wonderful books. We could do some movies on what has happened and how God still brought us through. Let's celebrate how God has brought each other through. Turn to somebody and say, you're here because you're unstoppable. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let anything stop you from being who you are in Christ. Unstoppable means not able to be stopped. The enemy says, hold it right there. I said, no, I'm not holding up for you for nothing. Impossible to stop or prevent. Incapable of ending a life with the present generation not coming forward with it. I missed a word there, but I'm going to give it to you. When you're unstoppable, you will pass it to the next generations. Not just tell them about it. Help them work in that anointing. Help them to know how to get their prayers answered. Help them to know the dreams. God gave my son a dream. Prophetic word came when he was even in his mama's womb. Says this boy is going to have dreams from God. Pay attention to his dreams. He had a dream, and his grandmother, who was going to go on to be with the Lord, said, I've got so many weeks left in this dream, and I'm going home to be with Jesus. And the night before the time was up, she went on to be with the Lord. And the prophetic dream was manifested. What did it prove? That God could speak to my son and give exact timing in a dream of exactly what would manifest. he will never forget it. And when God gives him another dream like that, he'll know. And once you know, and you don't get amnesia, once you know, and you don't get Christianity Alzheimer's, once you know that you know that you know, no matter what the enemy tries to present, I know God said it, I believe it, and I know that that's the only outcome that's coming forth is what he said. Shout unstoppable. Unstoppable to the next generation. Unstoppable energy. Here's the cost. You got to spend time in the presence of the Lord. My wife said the cost of his presence is time in it. Trade your life limited time to be so close to God that his eternity disrupts and shifts your timeline. One of the great preachers, he spoke over our life just before our first revival, C.S. Updegrove. Some don't know him. But he was the second man who got prayed for and a mantle given to him by A.A. Allen. The first was R.W. Shabbat. C.S. Updegrove had thousands and thousands of miracles as well, but he did not take the limelight because the Lord told him to produce sons behind the scenes. C.S. Updegrove on that Sunday morning, I didn't even know who he was, didn't know the lineage that he had, called us out before he started to preach and prophesied to us a lengthy prophecy. That has meant much of it has come to pass, and the rest is going to be fulfilled. That night, as he prophesied, that night we went to Wood River, Illinois, and eyes were instantly open. What God had done for my dad that I'd heard about that I'd never had eyes open, another man of God of miracles ignited it. And when the Lord said, pray, the power of God was released, and the Lord did it. God is revealing to us that there's more anointings. Pastor Parsley says, not one single anointing leaves this planet. It has to get passed on to someone else. And those anointings that are behind us, if we reach back and grab their ashes, their testimonies, their power that was released, and we bring them together with our power that the Lord has given us, and then we get together with others who have those testimonies, I'm telling you that more miracles are going to break out, more healings are going to break out, more salvations are going to come, the greatest move of God that Springfield has ever seen, the glory hub of God over all of this area is going to open because God, people have spent time with God, and eternity is disrupting the timeline. The time in eternity gives access for eternity in your time. If you spend no time with God, he does not have the access to bring eternity into your time. And when God comes with eternity into your time, everything changes. Paul and Silas brought him in by their praises. And when they did, he shook the jailhouse off of its foundation. All the bonds broke, all the chains broke, and every cell door was open. All because when you bring God, the God of eternity, the unstoppable God, inside any time, say, well, it hadn't happened yet. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. Keep praying. Keep holding arms. Keep connecting. Keep on singing it. Keep on worshiping. Keep on praying. Be unstoppable until eternity shows up in your timeline and everything shifts. Woo, glory to God. The call to unstoppable is a desperate hunger that cannot be denied. Passionate pursuit for God himself until he saturates and transforms you greater. As I come to a finish and our singers come back, tonight we're going to call upon God. He's bringing forth us of unstoppable spirit, unstoppable word. That next one, Corey, there it is. Unstoppable praise, unstoppable worship, unstoppable obedience, unstoppable anointing, and then the glory. Would you stand to your feet? Spirit of the living God, that which you have started, we want to be a part of everything you're doing. I want you to begin to pray and pull on heaven. Pray and pull on heaven. pray and pull on heaven. It was said to Catherine Kuhlman, she would access God and talk to the Holy Spirit right in front of the masses and access her secret place. She was not ashamed, and the healings and the miracles would break out because she did. Access the Lord right now. Our precious Savior, our precious Lord, we are in love with you and you're in love with us. Thank you, Lord, for the ashes. Thank you, Lord, for the connection. Yes, worship him, call upon him. The Holy Spirit said to me as I was coming right off the stairs, Pastor Denver, that I need you to hang around for more years. I need you in my life. That connection, I need you. We're going to pray for God's supernatural strength. He's not brought you this far through this test. The enemy tried to stop you, but God gave you the things to hold on and to say in a relationship with God. As you shared with me, and I won't go into all of that, shared, he told you what to do, and you kept after it and after it and after it and after it to obey. But we're going to pray for you. Pastor True, come here. Take a couple steps forward. Not only does your congregation need you, not only does Springfield need you, but we need you, man of God. You are one who heals churches. You are one who raises them up from their deathbed and raises them up to much life. And you equip the body and you give forth much wisdom. We need what is in you. So I speak strength. We speak strength right now to your body. In Jesus' name, awaken, almighty anointing. Every pimple from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Strength now, healing now. Every tissue, every fiber, every organ line up to the design of God and the strength. Father, I thank you. You're not meant to be alone except when you're alone with God. You're not meant to be isolated and put aside and have to struggle through things by yourself. Hook up together. See, you prayed. This is an answer to prayer. But God's going to give you ministry friends that are not backstabbers. They're not gossips. But they are strength givers. And what is in you, woman of God, is going to begin to come forth because you're a woman of grace and compassion. And it's going to come forth, and younger are going to know it in the name of Jesus, Sister Carmen. The places of the hurting of heart are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Give God praise. Give God praise. Saturate me in your presence.